round of applause, please, to welcome Marianne.
So my story starts when I was a medical student, and I was doing a rotation in pediatrics. I was in a pediatric hospital in the Netherlands, and I was shadowing this very experienced pediatrician. He was a gray-haired man. He was close to his retirement age. And the thing that I remember so vividly are his shoes. He was wearing these brightly colored trainers, I think to amuse the children. And it seemed to work. The children, they seemed to be really fond of them, and the parents as well. And me too, actually. I enjoyed sitting in his clinic. And at the end of the day, he took me aside and he said, "I'm going to teach you a valuable lesson." And he looked at me really intently and he said, "The soul of a child is in their tummy." I was a bit confused because I was like, I thought, you know, their bowels, things, the bladder in the tummy, what do you mean their soul is in the tummy? And so he said, "Well, what I mean is that when children, when they say their tummy hurts, it might mean that, yes, there is something going on with their bowels or something going on with their bladder, but it could also be that there's something else, somewhere else that's wrong. It might be that they're anxious, or it could be that they're hurting, but in a completely different place." And that really stuck with me because it made me realize that as adults, even though clearly we've all been children, when we grow up, we seem to sometimes struggle to understand the cues that they give us. And so that made me really motivated to work with children and to better understand what they could be experiencing. And I thought, what better way is there to understand people than to look at their brain? And so 4 years ago, I came to Oxford to work with a really wonderful professor called Rebecca Slater. And she looks into how babies, our youngest children, how they perceive and how they cope with pain and discomfort. Our research, most of our research is based in neonatal units. Not a lot of people have probably seen one from the inside, neither had I. And so when I started, one of the nurses, she gave me a tour. And you have to imagine it's this space. This is where babies who were born too early or who were ill will be cared for by their parents and the doctors and the nurses. So it's a space with cots instead of beds and incubators. And there's quite a lot going on. So when I went onto the unit, I realized you can hear the soft bleeps of the monitors that track the baby's health. You could see the lights on the machines that help them breathe and that support them. And you can hear the soft buzz of the parents and the nurses speaking. These parents and nurses that were there every single day caring for these babies. And walking around, I realized there's a lot of things that we can measure from these babies, because if we want to know if they're growing, then we can weigh them. If we want to know if their heart is beating at the right speed, then we can put stickies on their chest and find out what their heart rate is. If we want to know if the levels of glucose in their blood are in the right range, then we can do a blood test. But there's also things that we can't directly measure. And one of those is whether our babies are in pain. Pain is it's a curious phenomenon. If I would ask every single one of you in this room, "Can you describe to me what pain means to you?" I'd probably get, how many people do you have? 80 different answers. And the truth is, you would all be right, because by definition, pain is a subjective experience. So what's nice about that is that when you're trying to assess pain in people who can speak, you can just ask them. I can ask you, does this hurt, and how much, and where, and can you describe me exactly what it feels like? That really helps us as doctors. But with babies, obviously, we can ask, but it's unlikely that we'll get a response. So we have to find other ways, and people have tried finding other ways. So already a few decades ago, researchers, they started looking at whether can we use the way that babies change their facial expressions or their behavior or maybe how their heart rate changes to help us know whether they might have discomfort or pain. And while these things were being developed, other scientists here in Oxford, but elsewhere as well, were trying to find out actually what is pain. And they did that by taking adults and asking them, how are you feeling? And at the same time, looking at their brain. And doing so, they found that the brain is actually hugely important in generating that experience that is pain. So naturally, some people started putting two and two together, and they realized, okay, so if pain is subjective and it's in the brain, can we maybe try and measure it there? And they did. So about 10 to 15 years ago, scientists started putting electrodes on babies' heads if the parents were happy to take part in research, and they would record their brain activity. And they would record it while babies were sleeping, but also when they were having a blood test that they needed for their clinical care. And they found that when these babies were having a blood test, their brain activity changed. And to this day, that's something that we hope to use to know whether the things, the comfort measures that we give babies or the drugs that we give babies, whether they're helping them cope with their pain. Then during my time here in Oxford, it became a really core activity to look at baby brains and their activity. And I could tell you lots of exciting things that we found or that we're still hoping to find. But I think one of the most valuable and the most interesting things is working with these families. So as you imagine, I was interested in looking at brains from babies who were really newborn, so a few days after birth. And it was really amazing how parents would allow me to share in this exciting, this exhilarating, scary sometimes, but definitely life-changing experience of becoming a parent and having a young baby. And the parents were happy for us to, or they were happy to take part in our research. One of the studies I was involved in involved looking at babies' brains using an MRI scanner. MRI scanners are like a big donut, that would say what they look like, and they use magnetism to really take detailed images of brains. They're safe for babies, but what could be an issue we realized is that it's like with a photo camera, if the person that you're trying to take a picture of is moving, that's going to be really blurry, and the same with an MRI scanner. In adults, we just tell them, please, you know, settle down, don't move. Again, with babies, a bit more tricky. But we had a couple of tricks up our sleeve. I didn't invent these. This is just applying. Other people have tried this before. So when families were happy to take part in our research, we would take them towards the scanner building. And then we would ask them to feed the baby. If you've ever fed a baby, you know there's some golden point where they sort of get really drowsy and they get really sleepy. And that's what we want. Then we wrap them in soft blankets. We make sure they're really nice and snug in their own little cocoon. And we give them earmuffs. They're quite big, about the size of their head. And that's to protect them from the noise that the scanner makes. And also, I don't know if this is true, but I feel it might make them feel like they're back in the womb for a bit. And then we take them into the scanner room. We have a little beanbag, that's where they go in. And they're still to make sure that they're moving as little as possible, but still very comfortable. And then we dim the lights. And then we wait. And we hope to see their eyes slowly closing just a bit more, until they drift off to sleep. And then we can move them slowly into the scanner, and then we, as the research team, we go back, we sit behind a glass wall, and we start the scan. And I know it's just physics behind it, but it feels really magical, because you're sitting there behind this glass, you can see the baby's feet sticking out of the scanner, and it's kind of quite big, maybe quite small, but you can see the feet, and then at the same time, you can see their brain is coming up on the screen. And every time this happened, I wondered, I wish we could know what they were dreaming about. Obviously, even with all our fancy techniques, we'll never really know what babies are thinking. And maybe that's good, maybe that's exciting. But I do hope that we can use this and get closer and closer to understanding them better. Yesterday, 4 years, 1 week, and 2 days after I started, I finished my PhD. And I think probably the pediatrician who sort of motivated me to go into pediatrics has retired, but if I were to see him, I would say thank you. Thank you for showing me that as adults, we should care and we should try to understand children. Thank you for motivating me to work with these wonderful families and be such a strange but a lovely experience at the start of their baby's life.
When looking at infant reactions to pain, kind of looking at the makeup of their brain, how does that differ to the makeup of the kind of response of an adult brain? Like, are different areas lighting up, or is it similar? And do you try and use one to model onto the other?
Very technically inclined theory, but that's a really good question. So we know from previous studies, so this is not a study that I did, but we know from previous studies that it's likely that the same type of areas or same group of areas is activated in adults and infants, but there's going to be small differences for sure. We can use the things that we know from adults and try to see if we can find similar patterns in babies as well.
Do you think there's a difference between like physical pain and emotional pain as a both subjective? Because surely Shop's almost saying that that's going to hurt both parties, but Man United are losing the league. It's not really good.
No, again, a really good question. There's definitely a difference, but they are both subjective. So even when we feel, even if we both were to step into a nail or something, probably we feel something different.
I think lady in the back was
so one of my children was in the neonatal ward and had to go through daily blood tests where they used the toes to take the blood, which you can imagine is excruciating. And I just wondered, you talked about how you were looking at advances in how you can help a baby that is suffering pain. I just wondered if there have been any in the last couple of decades.
So in the neonatal unit that I work in now, we take blood, I don't do it myself, but the nurses take blood from the heel. Things that we are looking at that can help babies is parents being present and being allowed to be close to their baby when these things are happening, wrapping babies up, stroking them, putting them into positions that that resemble the way they were in the womb. And then there's lots of studies going on about the use of things like paracetamol, perhaps not for blood tests, but for other things. Medicine, and there I studied in the Netherlands. There we were about 70% of the medical students were female, So I don't know what it's like here.
It's not like that.
And then in pediatrics, it goes up to probably 90%. So in that sense, I was never a minority in that regard. And then during my PhD, so I had a female supervisor. And I think that really helps to me when somebody tells me about a professor that's a woman, because I see her. I think it would be easy for me to say, don't let that hold you back, but I clearly have had an easier experience in that regard. But you can seek out female mentors, things like that.
But like, I don't know, I'm just like curious, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So, I would say my experience has been really positive, but also kind of tainted probably by the way that I came from medicine, which is quite female dominated.
We'll just take one more at this section, and hopefully there's going to be a chance to ask questions once we've heard everybody. So we'll have a few minutes after each speaker, and then Q&As at the end. Who would you like to take? Was it this summer, do you think?
I was wondering if you've studied the pain that fetuses feel in the womb and how that differs to how a baby's feel, or like kind of brain activity, or if like, you've looked into that at all, or if that's really a field that people, or at least you specifically, look into?
So I haven't, that's the short answer. So we look at babies after they're born. I'm not quite sure what's being done in terms of work of babies who are still in the womb. You can do MRI scans of fetuses, but it's a lot trickier than once they're born.
Okay. Can we have